It's a collapse of direction. It's a collapse of and the collapse of anticipation, that you can no longer see what is coming, which is kind of interesting, because a lot of people think that McLuhan was saying that artists were capable of some form of anticipation, or at least in his early period. And so,
not later. He when he was talking about the artist, he was only talking about himself. He had gotten into a position that was not limited to art, science, or philosophy, or religion, or anything. But I'm just thinking about how Baudrillard is just basically discussing the emotion of the death of the emotion of multitude. Whatever would inspire multitudes, art, movements, political, recreational, all these things. He's looking at the collapse of the TV landscape, is what he's saying here. His later books get into the chip landscape effect, I think. They go a little further than Transparency of Evil. But the I'm just looking at what it's a bias, because so what if they collapsed? You know, people are still enjoying the multiple bodies they have. See, he's still holding on to a particular mythic stage. It might be the journalistic mythic stage.
Yeah, or at least his audiences. I mean, he's writing for some people. I mean, it's a book, right?
Yeah.
You know, if you write a book on the assumption that somebody's going to buy it, perhaps, and if somebody's going to buy it, well, then they've still got some notion of an avant-garde political or sexual, organ capable of anticipation or something. I mean, otherwise it's just a a doorstop.
That's right. So I was updating my five body site in reference to McLuhan, Croker, Thompson, and LaRouche, because of this new information I got in LaRouche, and I got they had a YouTube of LaRouche on Good Morning America on May 13th, 1986. So I was sticking them into my website, and I was looking at Thompson's YouTubes, McLuhan's YouTubes, and Croker's YouTubes. And looking at Croker's YouTubes, I don't know if Baudrillard made any. Did he make any videos? Did he do any other media than maybe show up on a talk show or write a book? I'm assuming there's not much, right? So, you know, what's interesting is that Baudrillard is really talking about the collapse of the TV landscape, and jokingly use a book as an anti-environment to it. Croker is talking about maybe the collapse of the chip landscape, but maybe not. He's definitely talking one level later than Baudrillard. And they're both celebrating. Either they're happy in doing what they're doing and happy to be doing it, and what appears to be cynical is not their emotional state. Or they actually are depressed and bothered by this. It's this pure enjoyment of this catastrophe, so it's not really a catastrophe, that my quadrant comes in with, because I'm the ecstatic, the quadrant of ecstasy. Croker's quadrant is panic. Thompson's is, what was it? No, McLuhan is schizophrenia. LaRouche is paranoia. Oh, yeah, hysteria, worrying about the environment and that. The enjoyment of this catastrophe, having no vested interest, is not despondent over the situations that Baudrillard is talking about. And so because I was never involved in anything in particular other than my intelligence work, which really was a tetrad position of just observing and watching the trends and not getting upset about them, that has been crystallized. And we're getting to your projection here, Andrew. That has been realized and externalized with ION. Okay? ION is the ultimate celebration ideologically of the stance I've had. I mean, ION begins by saying, every death is a suicide. that simple aphorism wipes out all concerns about whether poor people are dead or rich people are dying or who's dying. If you look at every death is a suicide, you don't have to worry about nothing. And so that's a good beginning aphorism to deal with the total takeover and, quote, confusion, from Baudrillard's point of view, that has taken over people. ION has shown up with the correct platitudes. I mean, they're radically anarchistic from you know what I mean? I mean, I've watched friends and clients that they find it pretty hard to consider every death a suicide. In other words, the concentration camps, the Jewish Holocaust, 6 million people committed suicide. Cambodia, Paul Potts, you know, millions they killed over in Cambodia in the late 70s. Just suicide. Now, the Evergreens did say that. The Evergreens, coming through Michael Blake Reed, support ION. But the sheer joy of whatever, of post-citadel of consciousness existence, I mean, ION will say that there's not even consciousness. Okay, I don't want to get too much into saying, going into the particulars about ION, but I consider ION the greatest anti-environment to our death of Android meme situation right now. So as a result of this, they're going to do a McLuhan centenary, which our discussions are part of, over the next year. Did you see, did I post it? They've already done something in Winnipeg. Last week they had a conference, McLuhan-based conference. Did you see that? Maybe you haven't seen my posting. But they're popping up already, these McLuhan-directed centenary celebrations. I think Douglas Copeland was the keynote speaker at the Winnipeg one last week.
I kind of lost touch. I got booted off. I was on one of the lists for the centenary stuff that was in Toronto, but I got booted off when I suggested that somebody look at the disservices of the celebration. So
you've always been lousy party animal, Andrew. You'll ruin any party.
No, I thought it was a legitimate question.
It's
about McLuhan for crying out loud.
Exactly. In the Winnipeg School of Wild Ecology, we welcome these points, and that's why our website is not listed anywhere, but it's the best list going. And I would say to keep up, I find a good site that I just discovered yesterday is Alex Kuskus site. That site seems to be showing the latest stuff that's happening. You know what I mean? You can see that. You don't have to worry about being kicked off that. If you want to keep up with what's going on, he seems to be posting the stuff. You know what I mean?
Okay, so we'll claim him as an undercover agent, and he'll probably try and sue us now.
He is a member of our Wild School of Media Winnipegan perambulations. Circumambient perambulations, actually.
I'll advise the lawyers to get moving now, so they've got a head start on that. Okay.
They'll never find us.
So when is the show in Berlin?
Okay, so Gerald O'Grady showed up on my radar, and he pointed out that there were like 200 conferences going to happen in Europe next year, sponsored by the publisher owner of Ginkgo Press, which has a stake in this because they want people to buy their McLuhan books that Ginkgo Press republishes. And but Peter Weibel and Gerald O'Grady have conspired to use Peter Weibel or Weibel's institute in Karlsruhe, Karlsruhe in Germany, as a big, you know, space. And they want to put on a major collection of all McLuhan artifacts. Well, we thought we'd do an intervention in there, or I did, that the best thing is to actually bring McLuhan back. Or bring him forward. But let's have McLuhan show up. And the only way you can do that is through ION. So I'm proposing that we have ongoing marathon discussions with McLuhan during the June, July, November stretch of this exhibit in Karlsruhe, Germany at Peter Weibel's place. So what this would be, if you have – it's using – traditional mediumship, even though ION would say it's not mediumship, but let's just say it looks like channeling, it looks like mediumship. You would have to bring in mediumship or unconscious channeling by JW, who ION comes through, as an anti-environment to a world of rampant conscious mediumship. It's the cliche of channeling brought back it's the archetype of channeling brought back as a cliche probe. Now, here's what – and it ION is so good that we will not be – we will deny we're doing unconscious channeling or unconscious mediumship while we're doing it. See? It gets really good, Andrew. You can't get anything better than this ionic situation, because no mediums or channels can go on as long as ion. And you know, people have heard us do McLuhan, and it sounds pretty good. So I think the only way to resolve this situation of conscious mediumship squared through the objects around us, the objects are now channeling back to us, is to retrieve a chemical body channeling. And it looks like it's unconscious, but I tell you, it won't be. It'll be conscious.
You see, if I was a political administrator of Europe, I would be asking, so, Bob, look, what you're offering is going to be unsafe. You could destabilize our economy. There may be some physical ramifications at the level of earthquakes or such forth. I wouldn't have a bar of it.
Okay. I have a perfect answer. Ever since ION showed up and we've been on the radio, ION has explained that I already did collapse your economy, Mr. European Central Banker. It's already gone. The euro is gone. So it's nothing for tech there. I've already caused all kinds of earthquakes. There was a whole bunch of earthquakes in Indonesia today. This ionic expression is causing all these disasters. And we are providing the anti-environment that it's a joyful time, not a catastrophic effect that you old stick-in-the-muds project. I'm not directing at you, Andrew, but I'm directing at
No, it's fine.
This is our European Central Banker who refuses to fund the Karlsruhe exhibit because Dobbs will show up. I'm telling you, there's nothing. I mean, he's worried about chemical body disturbances. That's long gone. That's just on drugs now, the chemical body. It's a ghetto that's propped up by medicine and drugs. You know, that's all there is. The astral body is a ghetto. That's everybody in your neighbor is doing old-fashioned channeling. The TV landscape is gone. The chip landscape's gone. There's nothing more to preserve. Nothing more to preserve here. You only have the mystery landscape showing up as a figure. And I tell you, when this ionic conscious, unconscious slash mediumship happens, this will be the mystery landscape, its figure. It's all we got left. And McLuhan was talking about extreme effects 50 years ago. Baudrillard carries it on. It's extreme, and he talks about extreme phenomena. When you're talking about extreme phenomena, you're going to be on the right track 20 years down the road, because the extreme phenomena is always the leading edge of what's happening. So you've got to appear extreme to even be connected to McLuhan, to even be qualified to carry on his work. And so that's what's interesting. I used to look at McLuhan's books in the 60s and say, you know, he's talking about fringe things like hippies and that phenomenon, this phenomenon. And he would bring him in as major, you know, harbingers of drastic changes. Baudrillard was correct to carry on that by carrying on fringe phenomena, but calling it extreme phenomena. It is, you know, E equals MC squared. It's not, what does E stand for? Energy? Energy equals MC squared. It's now extreme. Extremism is what the E is. Extremism is MC for McLuhan cubed. The new formula is E equals MC. Ion is E equals MC squared. Extremities via McLuhan squared. Now this, what's so great about Ion, he's well versed in McLuhan. As a matter of fact, yesterday we had a client. Who am I talking to? See, I may be channeling, so I don't know where I am, but I assume it's Andrew I'm talking to.
You're in New Zealand.
Yeah. I last recall it being Andrew being on the end of this interaction. I had a client yesterday or the day before. In the middle of his private session, dealing with his problems and all that people worry about and all that they're happy about that Ion addresses, Ion brings up McLuhan. And he summarizes McLuhan in essence what McLuhan was about. And I listened to it. I said, geez, he's got it. That really is the broadest way he could talk about it, and very particular. So I'm thinking I will excerpt that definition and post it around. So you'll see if Ion got it right. I mean, he's talked about McLuhan differently. It's just that he, at different times, he's talked about McLuhan and Finney's Awake and all this. And but just yesterday, he did a really precise encapsulation of McLuhan. So we'll wait your judgment on that, Andrew.
That's interesting. I was thinking about that the other day and was wondering whether you could talk of McLuhan as offering an artistry of consciousness.
Oh, definitely. That's what that page 297 is. He goes through the tribal unconscious, replays of the tribal unconscious through the 20th century, and now we have the recently achieved forms of consciousness. And the definition of consciousness is laid out in cliché and archetype. It's the interplay of cliché and archetype. That's McLuhan's definition of consciousness. Did you know that?
In the back of my mind, yes.
Yeah, Barry Nevitt pointed that out. Marshall, I don't think, actually said that. He never said that, but Barry says it in one of his books.
And it's ABC of Prophecy, I think it is.
Yes, you're right. ABC of Prophecy. The interplay of the cliche archetypal dialectic, or Hendiades, H-E-N-D-I-A-D-Y-S, very useful word. The dialectic or Hendiades of cliche archetype is what consciousness is. And consciousness would always be changing because the cliche and ye old archetype becomes new cliche and recent cliche becomes old archetype, or old cliche becomes new archetype. Remember that? It's on the flap of the book, Cliche Archetype. The shifting of positions is a modern way, a mathematical way of describing the doctrine of the analogy of analogical proportions.
Yeah, that'll give somebody something to think about when they go back to the first session and they were talking about that that letter to Kenner where he's talking about the discontinuous nature of consciousness.
Right, right. And so you see, Ion is right up to speed with McLuhan by starting saying, because people talk about evolution and new age terms like consciousness to Ion, he disbands, won't have any of them. There's no evolution. How can you have evolution when there's no time? And now he does recognize the tetradic process, the interplay of moments that the tetrad shows you is a better way of understanding non-time than any linear evolution. And even the idea of evolving to a condition of no time doesn't work. And what was the other point? No time. And he dismantles the word consciousness. So, McLuhan says in his Hot and Cool interview with Gerald Stern, I have no theory of consciousness. That's a unique statement because this is what Tom Wolfe's error was. He, as Don Field pointed out, analyzed McLuhan as an expert on neurology or someone saying things that had implications for neurology, for brain chemistry. Mm-hmm. And that is a limited view of consciousness that McLuhan would not be limited to.
So, yeah, no, concur.
So the I would say in light of what we said, I think it's good to reread the first Baudrillard quote. In light, if anybody's following along, you might have a different take on it when you hear it again. So could you read the first quote again?
This is for our one listener, our audience of one, which is Buzz Kostin and Alex Kuskus's lawyers. the possibility of metaphor is disappearing in every sphere. This is an aspect.
That's a good phrase. In every sphere, that's important. That proves what you're saying. It's not just metaphor as a literary device. It's in every sphere. Now, what I in War and Peace in the Global Village, McLuhan talks about symbolism, and then he says what people aren't aware of is environments as symbolic. That's what Baudrillard is referring to. A sphere is an environment, and so there's no stability in any environment as a fact that would support consciousness.
Okay. Yes. Is there a war? Isn't there a war? Did the war take place? There's culture wars, but it's not between anything and anything because everything's destroying everything.
Right. And the chemical body is observing it because it's taking place in the second phase of the machines extending themselves. That's what the android mean phase is, 1960, 1990. They're extending themselves. Our senses are being extended. Now, that's why I was thinking what Eric says. Look at the internet. He says an extension of the proprioception, but I think it's wrong, erroneous, limited to say that the internet is an extension of one of our senses. I think it's a way more valid thing to see that the internet is an extension of the machinic environments, which were originally extensions of our senses, because they're too vast. What is being extended in the last 30 years digitally is nothing connected to our senses. And so the senses themselves, fossilized, sit on the sidelines wondering if they have any role to respond. And most people gave up trying to respond, 20 years ago. The senses capitulated. So that's why you can't talk about it as something you turn on and off, like McLuhan's mediaecology program in the analogical phase. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, there's no escape. There's no outside.
Right. Okay, so let's continue that quote.
This is an aspect of a general tendency towards transsexuality, which extends well beyond sex, affecting
now,
all
that's
the...
There's it. Look, transsexuality that extends beyond sex. What that means is chemical body sex extends beyond that. It involves images of fashion, clothing as an aphrodisiac, and images of being seen around some rock group or some glamorous thing as part of the aphrodisiacal process. Right there, he's talking about the TV body. It's more than the chemical body, transsexuality, right?
Yeah, completely. I mean, full what's her name? Jolie, suited up with guns. Yeah, or that.
Or how about Lady Gaga with her meat suit?
Yeah, completely.
Okay, in the next words?
So, extends well beyond sex, affecting all disciplines as they lose their specificity.
Right, let's hold that. Disciplines doesn't mean academic specialisms. It means any focused human behavior, any cultural behavior.
Yes.
Any generally specialist. Every culture is a kind of a specialism in a sensory bias. It obsolesces every action of the culture. Now, I got that from McLuhan. I knew McLuhan was saying that. But this is more detailed. You know what I mean? It's a more detailed, particular, I don't know, more accurate way of talking about it, if you understand what McLuhan's saying.
Yeah, well, I guess it's a different calculus that's slightly more sociological than McLuhan's work.
Or it just has more words to build on. I mean, people only became educated. You know, the baby boomers are the most educated people when education mattered. And they learned a lot about culture that their parents never had aspects to. So McLuhan wrote in a less information overloaded time. So his words were very resonant, but they're tiny compared to the outpourings of a Baudrillard or a Croker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but there's another aspect in this, insofar as McLuhan is, he sees sociology as an aberrant symptom, whereas Baudrillard, if he's talking about this later situation, full and wholesale engineering of social and psychological and every aspect of life has been the norm. And so he's kind of got that later day calculus of manipulating populations.
And yeah, he's building on McLuhan's breakthrough. I mean, he couldn't have done it without McLuhan, but then he can work with a given more than McLuhan. People understand.
Yeah, cool. Yeah.
Okay, the rest of the quote after disciplines?
As they lose their specificity and partake of a process of confusion and contagion.
Yeah, now that's exactly what we've seen the last 20, 25 years when any expert from any field or any president representing any culture gets on there, their statements are inadequate, anemic, and we see it all the time with Alan Greenspan and the new guy, I forget the begins with B, whoever the present head of the Federal Reserve. When these guys are on the spot, they only create confusion. Now, the interesting situation is, it doesn't have to be clear to keep the economy going. See, that confusion creates wealth. I don't know if Baudrillard sees that. He's looking for someone being clear, but it's not a problem that Bernanke and these guys are not clear. They just have to come to the microphone and say anything. Then that feeds the news cycle for 24 hours. And then someone else has to say something stupid. And that creates wealth. So, you know, there's slightly – this is like a 1960s, 70s concern if you're looking for – you think confusion is a bad thing. But anyways, that's how I respond to that word. Mm-hmm. The next part.
And contagion, a viral loss of determinacy, which is the prime event among all the new events that assail us.
Okay, just hold that. A loss of determinacy?
Yep, a viral loss of determinacy.
Right. That's when everybody grabs an object, a symbolic mythic stage, to be their temporary object, a temporary platform of
determinacy.
of determinacy, of determinacy. That's what it is. Now, you know, the psychologist, I think it's Melanie Klein, she developed the stuff, you know, 80 years ago, whenever, of object relations. You ever heard of that? You ever looked into Klein's psychology?
No.
You know, I'm not an expert in it, but the idea that the object is part of your consciousness is what she got into. I think it was a post-Freudian thing. But anyways, it's something to look into. Klein, Croker mentions Klein. This idea that your environment becomes your identity is what becomes your consciousness. That's what we're getting at here. Now, all of these mythic stages have collapsed. That's what it really means. The objects that people hold on to have been holding on for 25 years as their mythic temporary transitional identities. They have collapsed over the last couple of years, and that's why we've moved into the third phase of the extension of the non-physical, because the senses and the machines were physical. Now the non-physical, and that's where ION comes in. So that's part of what we're addressing in this exhibit next summer, if we're accepted to be allowed in it. But we might do it anyways in other places. Okay, so you see, I'm by going over Baudrillard, it helps me define what I'm doing differently with ION. Do you know what I mean? Because he's the viral contagion of mythic consciousness. See, that's where Croker may have not arrived at it, because he didn't deal with nano communities. Objects and the environments they symbolize are the nano communities. The nano communities have really a hard time maintaining themselves.
Yeah.
And you know, I noticed there's a YouTube, when I was gathering together the McLuhan YouTubes, there's one on the 1960 CBC explorations thing McLuhan did, where he looks like he's probably ill. That's when he had that, went into the hospital, and he's got a fat head and he looks nervous and all that. Did you look at that? Because there's a comment on there, and it's using our language. They talk about nano communities. It's either someone who heard our statements in the previous sessions, or maybe it was Buzz, or it was you. Did you post a response there?
No, I don't post responses to anything.
Okay, so I'll show it to you after. It's somebody's been listening to our stuff and posting using our nano community. We coined the term nano community. And, you know, just a few months ago, and it's already being talked about.
It's already obsolete.
Yeah,
it was obsolete
yeah.
when we pronounce it. Now it's been hoiked up as something else.
That's right. Now, that's why I'm glad you bring up asked me to talk about ION, because, you know, we keep ahead of everybody else with ION here at Dobbstown, you know, and it's the toughest thing for people to handle. I mean, people identify with the voice of ION and have reactions to that. The voice is puny compared to the whole operation. I mean, let's put it on the record. Carolyn's in Dubai today, this week, or the next couple of weeks. She's in Dubai, which has a very iconic resonance. I was down on the beach the other day, and I hadn't seen these guys who work the beach, you know, the beach janitors for the hotels, and hadn't seen them in a while. They said, oh, I haven't seen you. Yeah, and then we talked, and they said, where's Carolyn? And I said, in Dubai. And then these are guys in their 20s. They look shocked. And it really showed me something. And then someone else, I mentioned Dubai. They went, Dubai? Do you know that Dubai is now the new New York City? I mean, in the 20s, if a hick from Kansas went to New York, that would be quite charismatic, right? To actually go to that place, New York City, because it was an icon of wealth and the capital of the world. Well, it seems that, you know, most people didn't want to go to New York City. They'd be afraid to go there. Well, it seems that Dubai has, in my experience, become that kind of icon. People were just shocked. What? Why would you go there? I mean, I didn't even know what to say about it. And I don't know what they think Dubai is, but just as since we're McLuhanites or para-McLuhanites, just showing you the latest effect of the TV landscape, the word Dubai is a frightening icon to the techno peasants. So that was so that's ionic business she's doing. Okay, so what? So ION is relevant, but back to what? And some more words there from Baudrillard?
Yeah. So economics becomes trans-economics, aesthetics becomes trans-aesthetics, sex becomes transsexuality. All converge in a transversal and universal process wherein no discourse may have a metaphorical relationship to another. Because for there to be metaphor, differential fields and distinct objects must exist, but they cannot exist where contamination is possible between any discipline and any other.
Right. So one idea is, I see the inadequacy of the word trans. You add trans in front of aesthetics and those other nouns. Sexuality is not sexuality, and it's not aesthetics. It's not that, and it's not even trans. Trans is a way of noticing the tactile phase of the 50s and 60s. The post-tactile would not use any categories. Matter of fact, wouldn't even bring in the human dimension. Like, he's bringing in human known categories, sexuality, aesthetics, and whatever the other one is. Those categories do not exist in the post-tactile, in the Android meme phase. So that's where it's a bit conservative what he's doing there. And then when he talks about contagion.
What is written, Bob?
Yeah, but they're pretty advanced ideas, you know. It's not your normal. I don't know if anybody could understand it. It's, for most people reading it, they would find it unbelievable. They wouldn't. They just think it was sociological jargon. I saw Robert Fulford complaining about Baudrillard types of postmodernist writing as if it was just incomprehensible. This is totally comprehensible when you got the background in McLuhan and that. But for 99% of everybody, they don't know what Baudrillard's not even speaking English. You see what I'm saying? But anyways, I'm showing that when he says the contagion, that is the opposite, I think what he's getting at, opposite to de Kirchhoff's connected intelligence. He called the Android meme connected intelligence. It's actually disconnected because nothing can touch anything else. Therefore, you reinforce your mythic stage because any contact cancels out what you think you're doing, what you thought you was important, and so you avoid contact. Do you see what I'm saying here? That the contagion, it means disconnected intelligence.
Yeah. And it's insofar as metaphor is impossible, it even questions the intelligence. Because what's an intelligence without metaphor?
Right. So can you read that last part? He's saying that they're transing, but they do not touch each other. Does he say that?
No. It's I think.
Well, it's
they,
totally.
Or it's they are touching. It's like there's no disconnect. It's all just total.
Well, that's tactility. That's connect.
Total convergence. That's, yeah.
That's connect and disconnect. Off on. That's tactility. Off on.
Yep.
Bruce Powell has used that in his book The Solitary Outlaw back in 87. Just to mention, Bruce Powell has a new book out on Northrop Frye and Marsh McLuhan. It's called Apocalypse and Alchemy. Now, those terms right off the bat are not adequate to at least what McLuhan's talking about. I mean, he apocalypse, as a joke, he said he was an apocalyptic. Baudrillard talks about the post-apocalyptic, and McLuhan was pointing to that.
Yeah, well, here's the last part of that paragraph.
Okay.
And it talks directly to that. Perhaps our melancholy stems from this, for metaphor still has its beauty. It was aesthetic, playing as it did upon difference and upon the illusion of difference. Today, metonymy, replacing the whole as well as the components and occasioning a general commutability of terms, has built its house upon the disillusion of metaphor.
Ah, okay. I thought he was including metonymy in metaphor. Now, there is that distinction between metaphor and metonymy. What Baudrillard, that'd be a combination of Deleuze, Foucault, and Baudrillard. Baudrillard. What they all are missing is that it's post-metonymy. And I think even Croker says that even metonymy fails. So that shows Baudrillard being a little old-fashioned there. Still, I mean, it's good to point out that metonymy, you know, succeeds metaphor, but metonymy doesn't. The metonymy is implying juxtaposition, right? Metaphor is like connected, like a simile, even though metaphor technically is not simile. Metaphor is like a sign of something that is, whereas metonymy is just approximations. juxtapositions. Though I'm not sure. I mean, these things can be defined all kinds of ways. The juxtaposition principle does not apply because we got the fear of contagion and everybody's making sure they don't connect. There's Ion calling in, just for the record. Ion wants to get on board, but I'll be polite and not answer it. Andrew, you have priority here in Tom's sound right now.
Oh, no, give him 10 minutes. See what he has to say about the show.
Okay. I don't know if I'll get him in time. I've got to go over here and get the phone. Yes, second. Hello? Yeah, I'm in the middle of a broadcast. We were talking about Ion. Anything you want to add to it? Hey, okay, good. That's contagious enough. I just noticed that there's a couple of emails from her. We're going to be finished within 20 minutes, so we can Skype with her. It's her time. Okay. Yeah. Okay, we will. Thanks a lot. All right. Could you, just a second. Andrew, could you hear? Am I close enough to the microphone and everything?
I could hear you. I couldn't hear JW or Ion or the speaking.
That was JW, who was the victim of Ion.
Yeah, but which one, Bob?
That's a good point. There are five JWs. Just talking about that as a shock to the postmodern world. But I'm glad of having the opportunity to stick these little things in here because that's where the real action is. We're just talking about McLuhan and conscious mediumship. It's just a red herring, right? The real point is to point to this event that was going to happen next July, which has already happened, according to Ion.
Non-time.
Yeah, non-time. The performance. So, yeah, you wanted me to I would say what I'm saying today is evaluating what happened at the Karlsruhe Academy next summer, because I've already presented McLuhan in public and I know what happens. So this will just – I already can talk about it happening. You see what I mean? In practical experience. And what I'm saying now is my assessment of what happened when we did those marathons with McLuhan in Germany, because I'm constantly working at the level of the third phase of media ecology, paramedia ecology, dealing with the extensions of the non-physical. That's what I work with today. That's part of my tools. So it's real easy to analyze Baudrillard and Croker and anybody else because they're all rearview mirror for me. But anyways, back to we were just saying about Baudrillard something. What was the last point?
We were discussing the relationship between metaphor and metonymy, and we're talking about he was locating the source of our melancholy, which is supposedly him and his reader or something like this. But so we were getting that sense of his ironic relationship with being sad about the collapse of all these things.
Yeah, you can't get rid of the chemical body and its emotions. You can't get rid of the astral body, the TV body, and chip body, they're here. And the ability to roll through them, which is what I call quadriphenia, and it still be have a level of joy and poise. I have on my chart, you have schizophrenia, paranoia, hysteria, panic, and ecstasy. This is the realm of experience that everybody has 24/7, at least in the advanced worlds like North America. People accept their depression. Matter of fact, if someone from 100 years ago walked around here, everybody would look pretty depressed compared to what people experienced back then on the chemical body scale. So we have accepted levels of melancholy and depression that was not acceptable in communities, 100 years ago. And that also is why people can take medication. A common phrase, what meds are you on? You forgot to take your meds today, right? That's a cliche thing. Everybody's on meds for their chemical body, and they don't even mind that it's programming because that's only 1/4 of your structure, your chemical body. So there's a Baudrillard, it's definitely dated, and talking about melancholy as if it's an issue. Most people have melancholy and have learned to live with it by – ignoring it or taking a drug to deal with it. You see what I'm saying? Like, none of the, we can't even refer to. Anyway, so I find that Croker's writing does go faster and moves it doesn't get bogged down in these concerns that Baudrillard has. But that's only natural. Baudrillard's a long time ago now, and Croker is himself in his 60s, but he is the next generation. Now, me, who's been here before all of them, I was not here before McLuhan, but I was here before everybody else. Baudrillard was born 6 years after me, 1928, I think, 1928, 29. And I'm still here. So I am what they said about McLuhan. I've got the charm of the long-distance runner here, right? I am the champion. And so what I'm going to be revealing is stuff I worked with for 40 years. I mean, I've always included channeling in my arsenal, going back to cosmic awareness. Anyways, I'm sorry we're talking about me again, but I guess it's inevitable.
No. I mean, it's this. What are we demonstrating? That there's still things to still talk about, you know, after time has ended, Bob. You know,
that's right. That's what I do.
Enjoyable space to talk, and you know, it's pretty relaxed. And so,
no, that's a very good statement, Andrew. That's actually my method. Because remember, my mythic stage is the conversation. McLuhan said conversation is the most fun of all, the best art of all. I have shown the ability to keep talking because even with Ion, who does his damnedest to fucking bring in the realm of silence. He has shut everything down, you know, as a benefit. I can talk to Ion. Who can do that? I kept going. So old Corbin out there in Florida, son of the mafia lawyer, was Corbin Regano. Yeah, Frank Regano, the go-between between Jimmy Hoffa and the Florida mafia guy. What was he called? Forget his name right now. Corbin, his son, calls me a language artist. That's not a bad term if you don't think it just means speech, right? Language yeah. artist. If you
I mean, language is pretty big.
Yeah, language is big. So can we go on to the next Baudrillard quote? I like reviewing them because we're getting more out of them the second time through.
Yeah, no, that's actually a wrap, Bob. That's as far as I can go today. I've got a couple of appointments I've got to attend to later on.
Okay.
So we're going to have to call it a day here. So thank you very much.
That's been good. Cool.
And sorry that it was so short. But I'll get into the a bit more Baudrillard for next time. And we'll move forward, maybe get a bit of Paul Virilio going on, a bit of Croker. And then we'll slowly head into your stuff.
Right. And we can get... We can get into – we can always go back to Wilfred Watson. What we're – you know, we're layering here. Everything we've discussed, those themes before, are relevant to what we add because the dialogue between Watson and McLuhan is symptomatic of McLuhan talking to Baudrillard or Croker.
Yes.
It's the same standoff, so to speak. The artist versus the categorizer. And of course, those categorizing is now an art, and art is now a categorizing. So you see, more metaphors, blurging, which is blur and
blurging. Yeah, blurging, for sure.
more metonymy. So I think we need to get, next time, is get a more precise definition of metonymy versus metaphor, and maybe play them off for precision.
Yeah, well, Croker makes a big deal about that, and that's his, one of his key punchlines in terms of discussing McLuhan. So that will be, that'll be great.
Okay, then. Well, thanks a lot, Andrew.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll talk soon.
Okay, I'm just pushing stop.